mustaches of evil.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyways,
what?
Fun fact. He's mad at me because when you Google Pete LePage, I'm the first thing that comes
what
up.
What happens?
Nice. But when you
but he owns PeteLePage.com.
What does he put on it? What are his interests?
He is really into computers, and he talks about technology.
Just a quick question, though. So
Is he friends with evil versions or good versions of Matt?
I wonder.
Yeah. Does he run, sports book club or something?
Yeah. That's a fun
sports
show.
Sports and book club don't work together.
Yeah, sure sports book club. Just
Possibly. Is he in any comic books, though? You've been in comic books as Pete LaPage, L-A-LaPage.
Right. We didn't
so
have
maybe
that.
He was in, I don't know, Schmack Clash.
Excuse me?
Clockin' Lee. Yeah. Clockin' Lee. It's buddy cop.
I feel like I just had a stroke. I can't hear. I can't understand the words you're saying.
Oh, I actually died while I was saying.
Oh, nice.
That
makes
sense.
Hey, we should start the show.
Oh,
sure, should.
It's too personal.
Guys, I'm very excited about the guest we have tonight. Returning to the show, we love having him on. And he is the creator of the amazing new all-ages comic, Molly Danger. Ladies and gentlemen, Jamal Igo!
Yeah!
Hello, boys.
Good evening.
Hey.
Good evening, man.
Jamal, thank boys you so much man. For coming back to the show. So I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but the last time you were here, you were either just launching the Kickstarter for Molly Danger or were starting to get
teasing.
Into it.
Molly yes,
was
Alex,
a twinkle.
That would be correct.
Molly
yeah, I actually, I think I had just launched the Kickstarter.
Right.
So
and it failed miserably,
oh, yeah.
Right?
It was horrible, abject failure. Absolutely and completely.
Great. No, the opposite.
Yes, yes. Well, this is opposite day.
Confusing
with,
interview.
Bizarro Pete and everything.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, the Molly Danger, you did the Kickstarter.
Yes.
Overwhelmingly funded, which was awesome.
Yes.
And you finally released the book, and not only have you released it, but it was a free comic book day book.
Yes, we released the first 11 pages for free comic book day. Just a small smattering of the entire album, which should be released by the end of the summer.
When it's an album, it drops.
Yes,
yeah.
When it's an album,
it drops.
You're recording 12 tracks?
It feels like it.
Yeah.
The Free Comic Book Day, I kind of equate the Free Comic Book Day book to sort of like releasing a teaser trailer because, you know, as I described before, the story ultimately is four books. You know, it's going to be a 200-page story. This is the first 11 pages. It's just like dropping the bucket, seriously.
Yeah.
But what was that feeling like to go from not even sure if you would get to ever make it to now it's in comic book shops all over the country?
It's a little numbing, actually, to be completely
numbing.
Well, no. Okay, no. You gotta keep this in mind. I came up with this idea for Molly a decade ago. I started reworking the idea.
Did you, fall and hit your head on the bathroom sink, and you were like, holy shit.
And that's when I came up with the idea for the flux capacitor.
Yeah. Nice.
So we
get each other.
It's been...
I will say Justin nailed his catchphrase. Holy shit! My favorite part of Back
Chris,
to the Future.
Chris Lloyd, could you, this is for kids, so could you say something else?
Oh, fuck!
Fuck my dick!
Oh, my God.
1.21 gigawatts!
So you're all ages comic.
Right, yep. All ages comic.
Where were we?
Depending on who you are, seems to mean different things to different people. I was approached, actually, by somebody on Facebook. And he wanted to give it to his 4-year-old niece, which is fine. You could give it to her. He was afraid that she wouldn't understand everything that was going on in it, which is understandable. My approach towards it was really basically to write it as if you were writing an old Warner Brothers cartoon or a Pixar movie, something that could be understood on multiple levels. So, and then, of course, the follow-up question is, will you do a version of Molly Danger for little kids? It's like, I don't know, maybe.
Real quick, I'm not around children very often. Can 4-year-olds read?
Sometimes just say I'm not around children often. And
no. Legally, he has to say that.
Well, I just don't, honestly have no idea. When do kids, can they read
It varies.
Comics?
Well, my daughter's 5. She's starting to read a little bit. you know, she's picking up, you know, she knows her helpful words.
My daughter's three. She can read like two languages. It's no big deal.
Cool. Wow. A little baby cipher. Weird. How did that happen?
Coming. Yeah.
You haven't given us the pitch of Molly Danger yet. Can you tell us, for those of us that didn't get the free comic book day comic?
Okay. Molly Danger is the adventure of a 10-year-old superhero who's been 10 years old for two decades.
Oh, shit. I feel like that myself.
That's why he's been thinking about her for 10 years.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah. So she is smart, strong, brave, and possibly immortal.
Wow. Ooh.
Cool.
Sold.
Yeah.
So,
holy shit!
This might be me being a little hypersensitive to this stuff, but I feel like when, again, you came on the show before, you were talking about how comics for girls, I know I'm treading around this as much as possible, it was kind of an underserved audience, that it felt like a lot of things are pitched at masculine, and that's pretty much it.
Exactly.
I feel like since you've started the Kickstarter, do you feel like, were you at the cusp of a trend there? Because I feel like things have changed rapidly.
Well, I mean, I don't know if I'm at the cusp of a trend. I think that after a while, when you start seeing the same things over and over again, you just, you have shifts in thinking culturally, you know. I don't know if I'm at the cusp. I don't know if I'm at the tail end. I'm not sure. All I can really concentrate on is doing the best story that I can possibly do and put out the best work that I can possibly do and hope that people respond to it. And people seem to be responding to it so far.
We'd like to think that you're on the cusp.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, there we go.
That's better than being on the tail, right?
Could be. On the other end of the spectrum, you're working on G.I. Joe.
Yes, I'm doing some covers, and I'm doing a full issue of G.I. Joe, and it's actually going to be my first full issue of G.I. Joe since the Devil's Due days.
Oh, wow.
Nice. So I'm looking forward to it. It's the origin of Cover Girl.
Ooh. Nice.
Cool. Pete, resident G.I. Joe expert, who's Cover Girl?
Oh, come on. Are you serious?
I mean, I feel like I could figure it out, but I don't know G.I. Joe.
She's really into, like, makeup.
Really into makeup. No, she's just, you know, her name is Cover Girl. She's G.I. Joe. She kicks ass. She does a lot of great stuff. You know, it's like any other G.I. Joe.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're right.
Her name is Cover Girl.
Sounds like
I'm
going to
describe Snake Eyes really quickly. He's really cool. He kicks ass. He does a lot of stuff.
Right. I mean, that is sort of accurate.
That's every G.I. Joe. Shipwreck, you know, he's got a parrot, but he still kicks ass, and, you know, he's G.I. Joe.
He's got a parrot, but he still kicks ass.
Yeah, every single G.I. Joe is kind of the same. They just have different names and little quirks.
Is she a former model? Why does she have the name Cover Girl?
Yeah, why is she called Cover Girl?
She's a very attractive lady.
Why is she called Cover Girl?
She is a former model turned government agent who also happens to be a master of disguise.
Oh, okay. So she doesn't like make sheets.
So she is good with makeup. I knew it.
And what else is coming up for you, or is that more than enough?
That is my bucket is full. It's brimming over at this point.
What's it? Fill the water?
Fit us in then.
Well, you know, I mean, Molly really is my priority right now, and you know, I still have incentives to fulfill and the actual book to finish, and then doing G.I. Joe is going to be another thing, and I've got offers for stuff.
Ooh.
You know, nothing that I can really talk about because it's not.
Oh, sure you can.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, let's talk about the movie pitch.
You gotta get some. You gotta get some ink on the pages, the contracts.
No, there's various things, you know, and then of course I have to think about Molly Book too,
right?
You know, which is, again, like I said, that's my primary responsibility right now.
So where are you on Molly Danger? Close to done? Halfway through?
I'm close to done, and there's about 10 pages left to pencil, and inks and colors are continually coming in, so we should be done, and the file should be at the printer by the end of the month.
Awesome. Oh, nice. So
exciting. Cool.
And obviously, if you did the Kickstarter, you can get a copy of Molly Danger, but will other people be able to get a copy as well?
Yes. Molly Danger is currently in solicitations. Diamond's preview. You can get it at a discount from a discount comic book service as well. Like a 45% discount from them.
Wow. Cool.
So it's I think one of the things that I should stress to people is that this isn't a monthly comic book. This is basically what the French refer to as bande dessinée. It's a 48-page oversized hardcover album. And it takes a long time to produce one of those because the detail is so much more involved.
We can't, you know, be like, when's the next one coming? It's more, you're like, it's coming when it's
why would you say it like that?
Why'd you such a jerk?
Well, you know,
you are evil.
I bet good Pete LePage would say, hey, when's the next one coming?
Hey, friend, it's me.
Here's a
sandwich. I work at Google.
And what about the Kickstarter experience now that you're past that? Would you do it again?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I, having done it, I would be certainly be a little smarter about where my focus would be in terms of promoting a Kickstarter. But, you know, I mean, but even now, like, as you know, the Free Comic Book Day book is out, I'm here and I've got more podcasts lined up and more interviews and more convention appearances and store signings, and so it's full bucket.
It's all
cool.
We've all got full buckets.
Guys, speaking of full buckets, we're gonna go full bucket on this show.
Yeah. All right.
With our next section that we like to call the Stag.
Bucket runneth over.
Yeah, I really wanted to call this section the bucket today. I really did. Let's talk about Mr. Evil Pete LePage's pick first. Hawkeye, number 10 from Marvel Comics.
Woo! Hawkeye! Nice. Got it wrong.
Now, we usually don't like this book very much.
Oh, no. Pete LePage, the sole fan of Hawkeye.
Yep. Yes.
Bearing
so
the
talk
torch.
About your controversial opinion.
So this book is widely recognized as a fantastic comic. The art's amazing. The writing is fantastic. And here, though, we get a different artist, which I was very scared about, but then presently surprised.
You were scared about Francesco Francavilla?
No, I just...
You love him.
He's amazing.
Yeah, I know, but I get nervous when they change artists.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Because he doesn't know where David Asia is this month. He could be anywhere.
Right. Maybe Francesco Francavilla ate him or something.
Maybe it's like Carmen Sandiego. Where in the world is David Asia?
Yeah.
We should do that. He's definitely wearing a big hat.
Where in the world is David Asia? Probably Asia.
A clue.
Asia, if I had to guess.
All right.
That's right in the name. I mean, that in the Carmen Sandiego video game, the clues were that simple.
Come on. Where do you think Francesco Francavilla is?
Well, I don't know. France, I guess.
Oh, there you go.
So, guys, you just got to open your eyes a lot of times.
We get a little bit of a view into the bad guy in this series.
Yep.
And he's creepy. He's super creepy.
Is it the because he looks like a mime, sort of?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the creepy part?
Yeah.
He also murders a lot of people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that too. Yeah. That doesn't bother me as much as the mime stuff. I hate mimes.
You hate mimes?
Okay, you like mimes less than murderers?
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, surprising answer.
Right. You know, and we're talking about comic book murders.
Because with a murderer, you could see all of the, everything.
So, a little bit of context. The last issue, Hawkeye's friend Grills was murdered on the roof by
a fan favorite.
Yeah. Murdered on the roof by this guy in my makeup with one tear.
Yeah.
This issue, we flash back. That guy, out of makeup, is hanging out with Kate Bishop, the other Hawkeye. They have a little bit of romantic entanglement, and it turns out
he is, in fact, touched hands and had a moment. It wasn't like
that's what I call
that's an entanglement. For Alex, that's a real carbuncle. That's a real nightmare entanglement, is touching a girl's hand.
Do you think an entanglement is necessarily a bad thing?
No. No, but entanglement usually involves more drama, perhaps, or
something,
rather than a casual bar encounter.
Like the fact that you're hanging out with is secretly a murderer.
She doesn't know he's a murderer.
Right, but that's an
entanglement. Same way your wife doesn't know you're a murderer.
Right. It's an entanglement.
With you, it is.
I got down on one knee and I said, would you like to get entangled with me?
And she was like, you mean sex, right? Yeah, and you did.
Yes.
At least once, because they have a kid.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go. Just once.
Wow, everyone knows about your kid, man.
Well, we've hung out at the museum, actually.
We have.
What museum?
At
the library.
At the library.
Yes.
Yes.
You and your kids?
Yeah.
Yeah, we shared lunch.
You have a whole secret life. Your kids are going to be the best of friends.
Maybe.
They never know. Yeah, they have fun. It was a good day.
Man, I wish I had a kid for this one reason.
And then of course, you'd be like, beat it, kid, get out of here.
My kid will be three. I'll be like, are you supposed to read yet, or what's the deal? Do something.
I'm sorry, I'm not legally allowed to talk to you. Yeah. So anyway, this comic is great. It's fantastic every issue. It's a gorgeous comic. It's a very well-written comic as
well.
It
is awesome.
Yeah.
It is absolutely awesome.
I will say I felt like the shift from David Asia's artwork to this was a little it was a little hard to the story, I feel like, was harder to – it was a little more confusing than the usual issues because the normal art is so clean. And this is sort of – it feels like you're missing something.
Well, no, but at the same time, I'm a fan of both of theirs.
Me too, and I love both of them.
But I think even stylistically, like, it's not that big of a jarring shift. I think the biggest shift really is that David Asia has a very particular type of pacing and storytelling that is very different from what Francesco does.
I agree. And I think that's what was a little sort of disjointed for me, but I like the issue.
I felt like this was disjointed on purpose because we're getting a sense of this killer's mind. I feel like Francesco Francavilla perfectly brings that forth. It reminded me, not just because he did the art on it, but it really reminded me of the James Gordon issues of Batman that Scott Snyder wrote.
I love.
Not a lot of words and a lot of stuff because he's a mime.
Sure.
And it's really hard to depict mimes in comic books.
Yeah. Well, anyway, this is one of the best comic books on the stand pretty consistently.
Yeah.
And I think it's part of the slate of comics that Marvel has right now that are both like writer and particularly artist showcases they have going on.
Marvel is kicking a lot of ass. I've actually upped the amount of Marvel books that I've been reading over the last few months.
Yeah, me too.
Well, that ties in nicely to our all Marvel stack. Let's move on with Justin's pick, which is Winter Soldier number 18.
Yes.
Great
smattering of applause. That's fine. Not a lot of people are reading this book. It has since been canceled. But this is the last storyline by Jason Latour. And it is, I just wanted to, I've loved his take. I love the old Winter Soldier take. Really good. For a long time, and then he took over, and he was only, this is his third issue on the book, and he wasn't given a lot of time before they pulled the plug, but this book I think is so good. It's Winter Soldier's in a whole new environment. He's still dealing with his past, and he dealing with a new character called the Electric Ghost. It's just a great characters, great storyline, and it's I'm really sad that it's gone.
Well, this issue is sad.
This issue is very sad.
It deals with a lot of sad things, you know. Little kid is going through a lot as an orphan. It's a sad book, but it's very powerful, and the art's really amazing.
Well, let me ask you guys a question. There's been a lot of rumors that this is canceled so that it can eventually be brought in line with whatever's going on in Captain America 2.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about that?
I'm sure that's true. I'm almost certain that is true. Because when does that come out?
I don't know, next year sometime?
Yeah, I think so.
Is it all the way next year? It's not
because they're filming it right now.
Thor comes out in the fall. Captain America is
next. Well, then why would they cancel it already then?
Because they need time to get it together. Right. And they'll put it like a some more of a superstar team on the book so that it can all
feed into
it. It
would be awesome if they got Ed Brubaker back. I'm just saying.
I think they need a new person. I think if they're...
Like who?
I don't know.
Get Bucky to write it.
Yeah. Get his mechanical arm to draw it.
There
he writes it with the flesh arm, mechanical arm draws it. The left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing.
Right. No, it's okay. I'm going to write it with my flesh arm.
Yeah. Well, flesh arm, this looks like a job for you. That's what I say.
Let's move on to the last title. This is my pick, Superior Spider-Man. Woo! Marvel Comics.
Boo!
Now,
boo!
I will just mention,
boo!
I know in advance
boo!
That it's going to be very tough to have a legitimate discussion about this because Pete
LePage, an adult discussion.
Right. An adult discussion because if
you guys don't believe
LePage,
in right and wrong.
If good Pete LePage was here.
Assholes.
If good Pete LePage was here, we'd have a real discussion. So maybe you could
you don't do a show with good Pete LePage.
Have you ever thought that maybe good Pete LePage is somewhere trapped back here in the skull? And it's just evil Pete LePage has like taken over and he's fooling us all?
Well, in that case,
Pete's
been doing
not
going to
like me,
years.
Then, because this is Superior Spider-Man is one of my favorite books.
What are you talking about?
It is. It's great.
Okay, did you read this issue?
Yes, I did read it.
Okay, shut up. What did you think of this issue?
Wait, can we talk before he talks about the issue?
Okay.
All right.
So, you like the idea that the bad guy...
It's like having a grandfather who won't stop talking about the war or something. Like, I hate French people.
One, and is living in Peter Parker's body, and then there's Casper, the friendly Peter Parker, in the background. You
think
that's
it's
a
fucking
great...
brilliant, actually. I really do.
Now Pete's mad. Now Grandpa's mad.
Okay. Hear me out for a second.
Okay.
All right.
I hope you convince him.
Okay. I'm probably not going to convince him, but I'm going to say what I need to say anyway.
Let's talk about it, though.
All right. So Dan Slott, who's been guiding the adventures of Spider-Man for the last few years.
Right. Threw it all out the window.
Yes. Threw it all out the window to try and do something new and different.
Love
it.
And that goes against everything.
Nope.
But sometimes you need to go against things in order to make people realize what they lost.
Ah. Ooh. Have you ever thought about that?
Just now I did.
There are people who took Peter Parker, Spider-Man, for advantage, and then suddenly Doc Ock's in his brain and take it over his body. And all those people are like, well, fuck this. Mm-hmm. He can't be Spider-Man. Peter Parker's supposed to be Spider-Man. Yeah, fuck you. Fuck Marvel. Fuck this. Fuck this. Fuck this. You know.
That's
but it's so well written and so well drawn and so well done.
The art's amazing. Dan Slott is an amazing writer. Right. He does a lot of fantastic stuff.
It's a real slam dunk on this book.
Made me upset. For me, comic books are great because, you know, the good guy wins, and when this choice was made, I was just turned off. I was like, that's upsetting to me. So I'm not going to read it until it kicks back into the way it's supposed to be.
Okay, I understand. I sympathize with what you're saying. I felt the same way when Azrael became Batman.
Ah.
You know, but you're wrong.
That's fine. You know, it's like, I can be wrong. It's, you know, I didn't think I would like it when Captain America died, but they did such an amazing job.
Right.
When Batman died, that was also awesome.
And I agree. This upsets
me.
Well, then good. That's because you give a shit.
I do. I do give a shit.
For those of you at home, Pete is crying. He's weeping right now.
I do feel red in the face.
Okay. Yes, you are very red in the face. Look, can we talk about this issue?
Yeah, it speaks nicely to your issues.
This is my favorite issue of the year so far. It's the favorite single issue of a comic so far.
There's so much great stuff going on.
And this is one of the best Spider-Man comics I've ever read. Ever. Wow. I think. So what happens in this issue is we finally get down to it. It's finally the Doc Ock versus Spider-Man fight we've been waiting for. That I do feel like, I don't know, I wouldn't say we were cheated on, but it was held back.
I actively missed it in Spider-Man 700.
Because they were trapped in each other's bodies, so you didn't really get Doc Ock versus Spider-Man the final battle. You got something that visually didn't quite make sense.
Right.
Here, we get that. Doc Ock realizes Peter Parker's in his brain, goes into his own brain and fights him in a mindscape.
Yeah.
And we get so many amazing moments. We get Peter Parker, he starts to tear apart his mind. Peter Parker's like, no, this is my mind. My friends and family are here. Right. And he pulls them out. They all start fighting Doc Ock. Doc Ock says, you forget I've been in your mind for months at this point, pulls out all the villains, and it's all the villains.
All of your failures are here. Right. Yeah. Villains.
And it's Peter Parker's failures versus his triumphs in his mind. And then they get to a point where Peter Parker is beaten down, and he says, no, you know what? I'm also Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Rips off his own his face. And it's starts beating up Doc Ock. Doc Ock's like,
no,
hey.
I'm Spider-Man, too. Rips off his face.
Yeah, and we get Superior Spider-Man versus Amazing Spider-Man, and it's incredible.
Yeah.
And the thing that, like, kicks you in the gut is Peter Parker loses.
Yeah.
He gives
up.
Again. But really, for real, it feels like, at least in this issue for this time. And you get these two moments of the issue. One, where Peter forgets Uncle Ben.
Yeah.
Right. That is gut-wrenching.
Yeah,
and then
great.
The end, the last couple of panels, where Peter Parker is there, and he says, what's my name? And he can't even remember his own name.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to Doc Ock in Peter Parker's body, evil grin, saying, I'm free.
Yeah.
There are so many moments throughout this issue that are just, I feel like, classic Spider-Man.
Well, I hope you guys are happy now.
You know,
Peter Parker's dead. This is going to continue.
But,
forever.
But if you think about it, there are going to be huge ramifications from this. I'm not just talking about from the fan base. I'm talking about within the storyline itself.
Right. What I love about this... his run on this and his idea to do this is he's moved so quickly. He has upset expectations. Everyone's like, oh, great, you're going to kill him for how long? For like 2 years or whatever, and then he'll be back?
Right.
And then he's back right away in his own brain as a ghost. And then I was like, oh, he's going to slowly work his way back. And then no, Doc Ock just beat him in this issue. So like he's beating expectations in such a great way with this series, and also telling great stories and, like, really being very emotional, like you're saying. Like, it is really just a great issue.
Cool. So I hope this catches on, and then we can see, like, Iron Man die, and then there'll be a Casper the Iron Man in the background and shit. And then we'll just deal with all the comics.
All of our heroes will
Justin
be
Justin off. Hammer's in his head.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If there was some sort of electric ghost in a comic book, that would be real stupid, right?
Hey, guys? Wait a second. That's the comic I liked.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
How dare you?
I'm sorry. I apologize.
Don't make
you.
Two enemies on this show.
I apologize to you and your flesh arms.
Yeah. My two flesh
anyway,
arms.
Anyway, pick this up. Fantastic
Don't
comic book.
Do
and
it.
That's it
Don't
for the
encourage
bucket.
It.
Yeah, that's it for this bucket.
All right, guys, we're going to move on to our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. For that, we're going to go over to Boothman.
Boothman, the ghost in all of our hands.
Hey, yeah, he's like, you're kind of like the ghost in the shell a little bit.
Yeah. The what?
I don't know what that means. It's
great reference. Great reference.
Like ghost in the machine?
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever. Flesh arms.
You're like the ghost with the most.
Oh, that's cool.
Nice. I don't know what's going on.
Is that Casper?
No.
No.
That's Beetlejuice.
No, you're like the ghost whisperer.
The blip.
Blip. You're like the client list.
That's now me. That character is based on my life.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Did Jennifer
cool.
Love you? Okay.
I'm going to ask you for a hat job later then.
That's
oh
fine.
My God.
Wow. Huge client list fan
if
here.
He's good
huge,
enough.
Yeah.
If he's good enough.
I guess we'll never know, or you will.
We're going to be entangled.
I just learned something new today.
A question.
Yeah, do you have a question?
Right, first question, how good are Boothman's hand jobs? Well.
What?
Oh.
They're phenomenal.
Wow, audience,
you guys are
audience,
really late with the gross
audience app. Revolted.
Come on, don't quit your hand job.
Audience revolted. I got to say that's pretty good.
All right, first question. Will we see Molly Danger in any other media?
Interesting.
Ooh. Well, yeah, well, immediately, actually the same around the same time as the release of the first book, there will be a Molly Danger audio comic that will be released by
nice.
The Audio Ooh. Comics Company, and it'll be available on iTunes.
And you have voice actors coming
yes,
in?
Yes, we have professional voice actors,
that's awesome.
Full Foley sound, old-fashioned radio show.
Nice.
Very
well,
cool.
If you need anybody to play Molly Danger, we'd be happy to audition.
Some of us are Danger. Classically trained actors.
I'm a classically trained actor.
Acting, thank you. Yeah, so, but as far as any other outside media, I'm open to it. I don't know what'll happen. But
have you seen any Molly Danger cosplayers yet?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
The all first right, is call out to you guys.
The first one gets a cookie.
Yes.
Can't start carrying cookies? He's yeah, been carrying carry a cookie cookies. Around his back pocket for 10 years.
Exactly.
10 years.
It's kind of a little crumbly.
Yeah, it's kind of stale.
Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Yeah. Let's get nice. The next question.
If you could have any one of Superman's powers, which one would it be?
Any one of them?
Yeah.
His humanity.
What about his genes?
Great.
No.
Yeah, you need it.
I would like to have the S that turns into plastic and then traps people.
Good answer.
No, we're going with the movies. I want the rebuild the Great Wall of China power that he had in Superman 4.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, pretty good.
Well, in the movie world, I'd like to be able to fly around, turn time backwards by flying around.
He went back in time. He didn't turn time backwards.
Okay, whatever.
Sorry.
Right. It's sort of, well, all right. But sure really, I'd like to have the
that
ability
was a
to.
Great nerd moment.
I know.
Yeah.
that was awesome.
I was like, well, we could fight about it, but. I'd like to have the ability to put on glasses and fool everyone.
Oh, shit. You're on to
like
us.
You got, yeah. Wow, I'm surrounded by three Supermen.
We're secretly a bunch of beer and Farsight guys.
For if those of you listening, all three of the other good. Members of this show right now took their glasses off at the same time, and they were scared out of their minds.
Couldn't see anything.
I have perfect vision.
Yeah.
Did we answer that?
Yeah,
I think
so. Raise your hand. You're going to get some free comics. All right. Let's get the next question.
What is the best way to meet an artist to collaborate with? Cons, classified, podcast tapings.
Drunk Ooh, nice. At a bar.
Yeah.
Get Jamal Igle drunk today.
Well, how... I know you've done a lot of DC projects, Marvel projects, stuff for hire, but when somebody has recruited you for a project on their own,
right.
how has that worked?
Whew.
couple dates, some dinners, romancing.
You know, won a booth man's hand job.
Well, I guess, okay, better way of asking this.
It's, he is for hire.
Because it's very particular to any project. But okay. What convinces you to do art on a writer's project?
It really depends on the project, to be honest. I mean, I've done a few projects where it seemed goofy when described to me, but once you read it, it was just like, wow, I have to be involved with this. This could be fun. Mm. And that really is, you know, my biggest criteria for working on a project is it has to be something that I think that I'm going to enjoy, especially if it's something long term. You know, if it's going to be, you know, like when they pitched me Supergirl originally,
yeah,
it wasn't anywhere near on my radar, and I was actually working on another miniseries at the time, and literally had to say to the editor, I got the phone call while I was at a store signing at Gravecrackers Comics in Chicago. I'm on the phone, and I'm just like, well, I don't know. Don't you think the fans would be upset if I leave? Because I was working, it was a Tangent Superman's Reign at the time. I was like, don't you think people would be upset if I leave halfway through the miniseries? It's like, do you really want to work on Tangent, or would you rather work on Supergirl? It's like, okay, you got a point.
Wow.
Wait, was that a DC editor?
That was a DC editor.
DC editor was like, would you rather work
he was actually editing both books. So. Oh,
wow. That's a fair
point. That makes it worse.
Well, that's great. I think that was a great. You were happy with that choice.
Oh yeah, no, it was absolutely
that was a great choice.
Yeah, you know,
as a reader,
being 2 years of, you know, and really going back to what I was saying about, you know, the idea is what really sort of cemented the deal for me was reading Sterling Gates' first script, which ended up being issue 34, and I was so excited by what he had written that I was just like, you know what, I'm in, just based on a 22-page script.
That's one of my favorite covers that you did, is that Supergirl one where the bullets are all coming out. And you signed one of the bullets. That was so cool.
Yeah, did you do that after it was shot?
Yeah.
Like, that's how it was quick he is.
He's fast. Yeah. He's very fast.
Yes. That is the power that I want from Superman.
Yeah. Cool. Signing bullets.
Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics.
Faster at signing bullets. Stronger than.
Will anyone create anything for mainstream comics ever again?
Oh. Ooh, a jaded
something,
fan.
Something original means, or literally?
Yeah, I think that means something original.
Oh, okay, because I think they're creating stuff right now.
Right. Well, it's interesting. Talking about Dan Slott on this, like, that's a risky move, what he did. And, you know, especially
despite the fact that I like it, is it original? Because it's really just a brain-switching thing. Which
True. Well, I mean, how do you define original? Like, what's the most recent original character or thing to happen in mainstream comics?
Yeah, that would be tough because there's...
Mainstream comics?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean...
Damian Wayne?
New 52.
Well, I mean, in a way, like, that is... You could say that. They did do a line-wide reboot. That wasn't the first time.
Sure, but it wasn't necessarily
happened.
Original. It was the same characters they've done before.
Well, how are we defining original?
Audience answer, would you say?
Batwoman. That's true.
That's a good answer.
But at the same time, Batwoman is an offshoot of... an already established character.
True,
right.
But
even
I will say
it's a great character.
I'll
she's
tell
a
you
great
what,
character.
If they created something like Pineapple Squirrel Guts Man, that would definitely not be
Pineapple Squirrel Guts Man.
Yeah,
I'm calling dibs.
I'm writing down. Wow, you really know a good idea when you hear one.
Yeah. Also, I have some tips on getting a good artist on that.
Yeah. Just produce a fantastic 22-page script. Though I think to the point of the audience member about Batwoman, that's a strong new take on a character. That has become a
stable.
Sort of canon character.
Right.
In DC.
Really amazing.
And that, I think that qualifies as an original.
And also
a new
way
original
but
character.
When you honestly think about it, the last original character that's even gotten any real traction, God, I don't know why, is Deadpool, probably.
Yeah, you're right.
Sure.
As far as original character with a like sort of huge impact.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Except Deadpool was a Spider-Man parody, right?
Nah. Deadpool was created by Rob Liefeld as just a gun guy.
Yeah.
What? Did somebody say that?
A what? It's parody? A Deathstroke. It's a parody.
Yeah,
Deathstroke.
The Terminator.
Yes. Same character.
Yeah. The Amazing Spider-Man, the Terminator.
Yeah, there we go.
That's
so,
it. That's interesting. Deadpool is, and he is a very original character with the way he's presented.
He's
and
become
the meta.
He's become an original character over the years. I don't think he really started out that way. It's like, okay, let's take Spider-Man, give him Wolverine's healing factor, and copy him off of Deathstroke the Terminator. Does that sound like a good idea to anybody? But because they made him funny, because they do all that meta stuff with him, where he does all the mugging and, you know, playing to the camera and all that stuff, that's what I think attracts people to the character. Me personally, I can't stand the character.
What?
But,
yeah. Come on, man.
I think Main Street comics are not necessarily set up. Main Street comics are not set up for purely original characters because they're set in a universe that already exists. They're already in some way going to relate to other people. Otherwise, they're totally disconnected. You know, even kids like the Avengers Academy kids, who I think are awesome and very different characters. Metal is a very weird, interesting
character.
Yeah,
and then they killed
character.
Them off right in the first.
Sure, that
was
my
bullshit.
Point. But Metal is very weird, very different, but he's related to Avengers. So technically not original. That said, if you were like, here's a Metal comic book, he never interacts with anybody you've ever met before, what makes it a Marvel comic?
Well, I mean, and I don't think not interacting with something that's already happened, I don't think that qualifies as original. Like, a new idea, and I think that's why, like, Deadpool and Batwoman qualify, even though they are very, very related to both of their particular universes, they are, like, a new, there's a newness to them that is important.
But
and is
at the same time, the thing that for me, that I think a lot of people need to understand about working for a company like Marvel or DC or Dark Horse or IDW or anybody, a lot of what you're doing as a creator working for one of these companies is brand management. You're basically there to create new ideas based around an established brand.
Within a bucket.
Which is not necessarily a bad thing as long as you go into it with that mindset.
Yeah.
You know, once you start going into this, like, well, you know, I'm going to make my mark, and I'm going to create something wholly new, and I'm going to reap all the benefits. That's not what those companies are set up for.
And then you walk out, and you're like, well, I added a different hairstyle to that company, which I think is really, really...
Which is not necessarily a bad thing in itself.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And though I will say original characters, Image Comics is doing a great job of putting out really original new series that don't all exist in the same universe for the most part and are, like... by some of the best creators in the business.
Totally. Invincible Universe, Astounding Wolfman.
Yep. Wow, great.
Et cetera. No, I agree with you.
Yeah.
Cool. Two. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics.
Great question.
Let's get the next question. And, speed round.
Marvel.
Which means we just don't give you free comics. I'm sorry.
Don't reveal that to people.
Marvel versus Capcom or Injustice Gods Among Us?
Oh, interesting.
I'll tell you what. I've been playing the Injustice iOS game pretty much nonstop. It's really enjoyable.
Yep.
Yeah, there's something very, very satisfying about playing Green Lantern and kicking the shit out of Sinestro.
Nice.
Or being Sinestro and kicking the shit out of everybody.
I haven't unlocked him yet.
Oh, okay. Oh, man. You got to unlock him.
You got to unlock him. That's one of those things because I feel like Marvel versus Capcom is a little bit more of a classic... I played that
more like
for
a street
years
fighter.
And years and years. I played that, and I feel like, you know,
best years of your life.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. If you would have asked me 10 years ago, I don't care what would have came out. That was my favorite game.
Right.
When you think about Marvel versus Capcom, you could still smell the pizza on your fingers, right?
Marvel versus Capcom is an amazing game. This is just newer and cool.
Yeah.
It's dark, though.
Injustice. I mean, it sort of points to the whole DC versus Marvel in the movies and the books a lot of time. It's like Marvel is like Avengers and Marvel's Capcom, like fun and like sunny. And DC's like brooding... These heroes need to fucking fight.
Yeah.
They hate each other today.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I don't know. I don't play either.
Pick up the free iOS app. Let's get the next question.
Yep. All right. Last one. If you haven't seen Iron Man 3, you might want to, chop your head off.
Chuck Thunder. Yeah.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Earmuffs, everybody.
La, 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 la. Who would have been a worse therapist for the character who's talking to a therapist in Iron Man? At the end of the movie.
So this is pointing directly to the post-credits scene. Yeah, which isn't, if you haven't seen it, isn't... Yeah, it's a bummer post-credits scene.
Yeah.
Oh, really? I thought it was kind of fun.
It's fun, but you wait for a while.
We need something.
It's a long wait.
Just because the end of Iron Man, teased the greatest movie in the history of the world, suddenly you want the end credits on Iron Man 3 to be amazing.
I guess I strive for goodness in all things. I guess I hope that everything's going to be a little awesome, all Alex. Right. I'm not a jaded person like you with fucking sideburns.
Thank you. Thank you for pausing before the word person.
Because I was going to say something like nasty. No, I wasn't. Who's a worse therapist?
Worst therapist for Iron Man.
Yeah.
Probably alcohol.
I was going to say a bottle of Jim Beam is exactly what I was going to say.
That's it for audience questions. Thank you, Boothman. All right, guys. We are going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek. Hey. What's up with the Week in Geek? We talk about some geek culture topics. First thing, we chatted about this a little bit last week. We touched on it just several seconds ago. But Iron Man 3, now that it's finally out, I think we can talk about it.
Yeah.
Curious to hear what you guys thought. And you've seen it twice,
I've seen it twice. I wanted to see it regulation and then in 3D.
Regulation. Yeah.
Jeez.
And really, the only big difference in the 3D is the snow scene. Where there's like, they really do a good job with the snowflakes where you almost feel cold. It's so, the 3D is so good. You're like, oh, God.
Nice. I didn't see it in 3D, and I wonder why there was so much time spent with him just being snowed on.
Yep. That's why. Yeah.
Interesting.
Man, that snow comes right at you, bro.
Yeah, cool. Terrifying.
It's so
terrifying.
Scary.
Especially,
I wish I had a jacket on.
I'll tell you what.
That snow added an extra $20 million on the weekend takes.
Yeah,
so
yeah, exactly.
If you like Worth that, you it. Should see a little movie called Jack Frost with Michael Keaton.
Oh, man.
Change it to a snowman. Changed my life.
You're going to love. Well, that's intense.
Right. Yeah. We should really talk about the movie, though.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No, let's talk about Christmas Time Express or whatever that movie is called.
Christmas Time. So I feel Polar like there's Express. A big, there's a Polar. Big, yeah,
Christmas Time Miracle Face.
I didn't see it. I don't have children.
I feel like there's a big kind of like twist in the movie, and that's where people either hate it or love it.
There is a twist. We don't have to spoil it because I think it's very good. The twist. I thought it was very good. I thought it was very much a post-Avengers movie. Like, there's a lot of points in it where...
You thought that?
Yeah.
What, with the referring to the Avengers having...
And I don't even mean that. I mean tonally throughout. Like, there's a lot of moments where, like, a villain or even a main character will just be, like, totally sort of meta or out of the action, be like, yeah, I'm getting out of here. Or something that it's, like, very much like... A Joss Whedon type line and a type choice in the movie, and I thought that was fine. It took me out of it a little bit.
Right.
What are you?
I'm just imagining in? Joss Whedon be like, "Oh, I got a great line. I've got to get out of here."
You remember in the Avengers when the dude's playing the video game in the helicarrier?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Great moment. There are several moments in Iron Man 3 that are just like this.
I'm just being.
You're just being.
You're being a dick about it.
He's just being someone.
Yeah. Talk about one of my stupid favorite moments from the Avengers. Just
is
when Iron Man is being chased by the giant creature, and he says, "I'm bringing a party to you."
Right.
And Black Widow looks at the camera, and goes, "I don't understand how that's a party."
Yeah.
It's great.
It's a great. You know, it's a stupid moment, but it's funny to me.
Great, so. Smart writing.
There's a lot of. Really funny, kind of like Tony Stark honest moments in this movie that I really enjoyed. Like him with the kid was just phenomenal. Like telling a little kid, I hate not spoiling, so I'm just going to fucking spoil. When he calls the kid a pussy, that was amazing.
That was really funny.
I was really laughing at that. Just calling a kid out, and it said so much about who he is. Like he wasn't going to change just to be around a kid. And it's not like he meant it badly. He was just giving that kid, like, respect to be like, we're just going to talk like adults. I'm not going to talk down to you. I'm going to call you a pussy because you're being one. And it was awesome. It was really awesome. But all that, I really enjoyed the movie. I enjoyed it so much I wanted to see it again.
Yeah.
And I just felt like this was a great number three.
Pete, you are such a pussy. No, I mean that as a sign of respect.
Fuck you.
It is a sign of respect.
Alex, Jamal, never let Pete talk to your kids.
You guys are pussies.
I'm just trying to talk to you like an adult.
Who's babysitting for our kids? Pete?
Yep.
No.
Now, I talked about this a little bit last week. I really like the movie. I think it's probably pretty firmly number three on my Marvel movie list at this point. But there's a thing that I've been thinking about quite a bit over the past couple of days that I have a little problem with. I know most people don't necessarily have a problem with this, but does it bother anybody else that Iron Man just straight up kills dudes with guns?
Yeah, yeah.
Right? I'm a little bothered like that. It doesn't necessarily take away from my enjoyment of the movie because action movies in America and whatever.
Right.
But to me, superheroes don't kill people.
Yeah.
He does. You're absolutely
audience
right.
Audience member just pointed out that he kills a lot of people in the first one.
But I think Iron Man 3 is a lot about his character growth and how he's gotten away from making war machines, war space machines. Now.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. That was surprising. Also, there's one moment when he is storming the mansion, he goes back to blow up a guy with one of his little bombs. And that did take me out. I was like, he wouldn't. That's not what he's supposed to do.
Right.
Go back and especially kill someone.
It's the same
that
thing.
One especially,
and I know this is kind
surprising.
Of an ongoing debate in comics as well. But it's the same thing with Captain America in Avengers when he just picks up guns and starts blasting.
Yeah, but that's different. It's World War II. He's a soldier.
Sure, I understand that.
Yeah.
It still kind of takes me out. I feel like with superheroes, there always should be a way of getting around that.
No, I understand that. I mean, I haven't seen Iron Man 3 yet, so I don't have the same frame of reference that you guys have. Yeah. But I'm just saying...
He kills War Machine just straight up for no reason.
That's not...
Thanks, Alex.
That's no problem.
And then Pepper, blast her in the head.
I did think that him and Rhodes had a lot of cool moments. And I liked the War Machine jokes and
the third act, especially
Iron
in this,
Patriot.
I thought was very good.
It's huge.
It's huge and it's awesome.
And the movie
Pepper's
just keeps
very
building.
Good.
It's not like it has slow moments. It just constantly builds.
Were a lot of goofy moments. I thought some of the dialogue. When we first meets the kid and the kid's like, yeah, my dad went out for scratchers. That was 6 years ago. And it's like, no kid talks like a dime novel like that.
No, but he does if it's written by Shane Black.
Yeah,
exactly.
And that was just, good point, Alex. No, you really love that word tonight.
I love it.
I did think some of the dialogue was a little goofy, but all in all, I thought it was a great movie.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Great. All right, next thing we're going to move on, talk about Free Comic Book Day.
Oh, yeah.
Was
this past weekend. So I'm curious.
Okay.
What did you do?
I went to Challengers Comics and Conversation in Chicago.
Nice. You went all the way to Chicago?
I went all the way to Chicago.
Man, this
because Pat Brower is a friend of mine, and I just couldn't say no. So
in my head, you walked there. Did you walk there?
It was a lonely walk, a long, lonely walk.
But you listened. You listened to a lot of folks
on
the way.
Yes, exactly. I had a stick with a handkerchief on it.
Yeah.
Put a lot of shit
the
in there
for
a handkerchief.
Old bindle stick, Deodorant. Gotta keep deodorant in your bindle.
What was the response like?
It was huge. It was huge. They got like 400 copies of the book for the shop, and I think I signed like 375.
Wow.
Yeah.
You got to 375, and you're like, fuck you guys.
No.
Last 25.
No, I actually ended up signing them all for people who weren't able to make it to the shop, but it was just like there were people lined up outside of the store when I showed up in a cab. And the line just grew, like, the entire day. And I met a lot of parents who were bringing their kids. This was their first comic book shop, their first comic book. They were bringing their kids to Challengers on Comic Book Day.
It's got to feel amazing.
I signed a copy of Molly Danger for a four-month-old. It was her first comic book.
Yeah, nice.
That's amazing.
She was like, what? Give me a spoiler.
I will tell you, I think...
I don't think 4 months old can talk. Can
see, I don't know.
Well, unless you've ever seen this British TV show called My Hero.
Nope.
Okay. Very funny show. Look it up on YouTube.
Nice.
YouTube.
I actually think I saw a lot more kids at this Free Comic Book Day than I have previously, which I
think
was
you're
cool.
Now into looking for kids because you have...
Yeah, I'm always scouting out kids.
Yeah,
what was your experience like, Pete?
I had to work, but I had a friend of mine grab some free comics for me during his lunch break, and I got to sit there.
So you cheated.
I cheated. I definitely cheated. But it was really cool because we had like a lunch table, and we put all the free comics, and people were gathering around like, oh, what's out? What's going on? And it was fun. I love the excitement of Free Comic Book Day, and it was nice the whole fourth be with you. I think that was really cool and blew up on Facebook, so it was exciting.
Cool. Do you think it's too much to have both of those things happening on the same day?
No, I think it's sort of like know, nerd collision.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think it was people were totally both were totally into everything, you know.
That's cool.
Cool. It was a great day.
Great.
All right. We were talking about Shane Black a little bit earlier. Today it was announced what his next project after Iron Man 3 is. He's going to make a Doc Savage movie.
No fear. Whoa. The Man of Bronze is here. So,
amazing.
Oh, nice.
What do you guys think about that? You're excited to see Shane Black's Doc Savage?
I am very excited to see Shane Black's Doc Savage. And I'm going to put it out there right now. I want Dwayne Johnson to play Doc Savage.
Oh. Really?
Oh. I think he could pull it off.
Controversial statement. Choosing a gigantic, muscled, bald guy to play a gigantic, muscled, bald guy is a real weird choice.
But, I mean, Doc Savage is usually sort of a gentleman, in a way. And
you think how dare you, Justin Tyler?
And The Rock.
Do you think Dwayne Johnson isn't a gentleman?
No, I mean, I don't mean, like,
walking
he's
tall,
a jerk.
He's a gentleman in that.
All right. No, I'm not saying he's a gentleman.
Shut up!
But if you were to, like... like the character is like sort of a well-to-do gentlemanly type, and
he can pull that off.
I know. Yes. Well, I'm just saying it's not the
Wait,
first.
Are you
thought.
Saying Dwayne Johnson or Shane Black?
No, Dwayne Johnson.
Oh, okay. Because I think Shane Black is a weird choice for Doc Savage.
Oh, to be the writer,
director, and writer. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. But I feel like the movie
action,
will be more like his movies.
Right. I don't think I have the feeling that if he does it, it won't be a period Doc.
It's
Savage
not
going to
be
movie.
Like The Shadow.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. You think probably Doc Savage will be like, I'm getting too old for this shit, et cetera.
No. No, he's going to dance a little jig. Yeah,
probably. All right, next thing to talk about, another little bit of casting news. We've been talking about the TMNT movie that Michael Bay is producing. Pete's been super excited for this, very excited. We talked a couple of weeks ago about Will Arnett is in the movie. Very exciting. We finally found out who he's going to be playing. He's going to be playing Vernon Fenwick.
Oh, man. Woo! One of my favorite TMNT characters.
When you think about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, you always think about old Vern.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
who the hell is Vernon Fenwick?
Oh, come on. You're clearly not a TMNT.
Obviously.
I heard instead
of... I believe he's an evil scientist that made the muncher.
Wasn't that Baxter Stockman? Robot,
right? Yeah, little muncher robot.
Mousers?
Mousers, yeah.
Isn't that Baxter Stockman?
Wow. I'm a bigger TMNT fan.
Baxter Stockman?
I don't think he made.
Oh, he didn't make the Mousers?
Baxter Stockman made the Mousers. Vernon Fenwick is actually a guy who's trying to steal stories all the time from April O'Neil.
Ooh. Oh, he's a rival.
Well, he does.
Well, then that makes sense. Arnett, that makes sense.
Yeah,
he looks like a kind of a douchey news anchor guy.
Right. Well, there were also scenes shot on set of Megan Fox as April O'Neil on a trampoline. So how does that play into TMNT?
Well,
lore?
A lot of
what
spent
movie
a lot
is being made?
A lot of new, like respectable newswomen, like Katie Couric, are often on trampolines.
Is this movie being shot by Alex Braun instead?
Yep.
And I've heard instead of pizza, they're going to eat quinoa, which is going to be pretty cool. Quinoa time, great catchphrase.
Cool. Last thing to talk about, there were some photos posted up yesterday. This potentially is a major spoiler if it turns out to be true. If not. Not, obviously, but Emma Stone in costume, Amazing Spider-Man 2, dressed in a very specific costume, the same costume that Gwen Stacy wore the night that Gwen Stacy died.
Yeah. Ooh.
So what do you guys think? Are they going to kill off Gwen Stacy in Amazing Spider-Man 2?
Yes.
I would say.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, Oscorp.
Because the setup's right there, you know? You've got MJ in the movie now. You've got Gwen in the movie. You kill Gwen... You know, you've already established
Norman Osborn.
But
Osborn's
Electro's
the
big bad guy. You can't have.
Well, but Oscorp is definitely part of the movie.
But the Rhino's in the movie, too.
Right. So maybe the Rhino and Electro team up to throw Gwen Stacy off the Brooklyn Bridge?
Yeah, that's probably.
Wow.
It takes two of us.
Yeah.
Who's
that?
It takes two
guys
to make the things go right.
I'll tell you what. I will give you $15,000 if that happens in the movie.
Wait, what?
If Jamie Foxx and Paul Giamatti sing It Takes Two to Make a Thing Go Right as they throw Gwen Stacy off the Brooklyn Bridge, that would be like the highlight of movies. They'd be like, well, close it up shop.
That's a
movies
classic.
Are over.
We've done it. That's a classic Spider-Man 3 Sam Raimi type moment, though.
Yes,
so
it is.
It could have happened.
There
Do you guys
go.
Know who's playing the Osborns?
It's Chris Cooper, right?
Yeah, Chris
and
Cooper's
the young
Osborn.
Guy is a... Is that the actor? No, it's not.
It's Harry Dahan, who's the actor from Chronicle.
It is, yeah, okay.
Bad guy from Chronicle and the bad guy from The Muppets.
He was the bad guy in Chronicle, right?
Maniacal Laugh.
Yeah, it's so creepy.
Maniacal Laugh.
The great casting in all of the and all of and this iteration of the Spider-Man movies, I feel like casting has
great
been
casting.
Very good.
Bad movies.
Perhaps.
And there we go. That's it for the Week of Geek. Guys, we're going to move on to our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
All right. Guys, this is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. We can't thank you enough for coming out. We really appreciate it. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like $25 free? A simple raising of the hand. A simple raising of the hand.
Do you want $25?
$25? Yes, you, sir. Come on down.
Fight.
You are already standing. Come on.
You're already standing.
Already standing, guy.
And
come on
down.
And I
just want to mention, if you ever come down to see us live in New York City, you can be awkward about getting $25, too. Okay.
What is your name, sir?
Caesar.
Caesar, audience Caesar.
Hi, Caesar.
Nice.
Caesar, it is nice to see you again. It's working. Don't need to break it.
Okay.
All right. So how this works is I'm going to read you a question, listen to all three possible answers, get them right, and you win $25. Awesome. Here we go. This trivia is on This Week in Comics, so everything that came out this week. I'm sure you've read all of them. Here we go. In Aquaman number 19, we see the return of ... Is it A, Topo, B, Black Manta, or is it C, El Guapo? So it's either A, which is correct, or it's B. Black Manta's already been revealed. Just say A out loud.
A.
Yes!
Yeah!
I'll allow it.
All right. Question number 2. In the all-new X-Men number 11... Who has a heart-to-heart with the young Jean Grey? Is it A, Wolverine, B, Kitty Pryde, or is it C, Dusty Bottoms? So it's either A, Wolverine, or B, Kitty Pryde. B is what you would want, because I shook my head. Yes. Here we go, last one. In the Age of Ultron number 7, we see a world without. Is it A, Hank Pym, which is the correct answer, or B, Captain America, or is it C, Gringos are falling from the sky? So it's either A or it's B. A is correct. How did you not know, Three Amigos? Come on.
I don't know. Not a
$25 free. Congratulations.
Unbelievable. Three Amigos, current. If you take away one thing from the show, we're always current.
We're so topical.
Speaking
of from the
current
edge
and topical, as we all know, tomorrow is free comic book day.
Tomorrow is free.
What, again?
Jesus. The world is
that
free.
That would be an amazing concept, you guys. Groundhog's Day, but on free comic book day.
Oh,
guys,
wow.
Guys like, oh, it's awesome.
No, that only means I'd get stuck at JFK for 4 hours again.
Well, maybe you'd learn a lesson like Bill Murray did. Bill Murray learned a lesson because he was stuck in a small town.
There you go. Tomorrow is new comic book day. We all recommend, every single last one of us recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they have been asked to sponsor the show.
I love your alternative take on the spiel tonight.
We've only been doing the show for like 6 years or so. I'm still working it out. What are you looking forward to?
Batman number 20.
Oh, not... Grandpa.
Any particular reason?
Grandpa LePage.
Yeah, no, just because it's awesome.
Great. No.
Oh.
Here's the hymnal.
Oh, come on! And the Batman came to Gotham.
I'm looking forward to Avengers Arena, one of my favorite comic books coming out. Great characters. The stakes are high every issue. And it seems like another character is going to be in peril this coming issue. So
ooh, surprise. Maybe someone's going
to
die again.
Well, characters haven't been dying every issue, but there's been a lot of character development, which I love.
Cool. I may be totally wrong about this. Is X number 1 from Dark Horse, is that the one by Dwayne Szczerzynski that's coming out?
I know it's coming out.
Yes.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, it is?
I believe so.
So this sounds very cool. The concept of this title, it's a reboot of an old Mystery Men crime fighter type thing. It's a guy who finds people to do crimes. If they do a crime, he cuts an X on their face and says, well, that's one strike against you. Next time I see you do a crime, no more. I'm going to kill you. So Dwayne Straczynski has really been on a roll, I think, with Judge Dredd and Godzilla and a bunch of other titles.
Yeah.
All of the stuff that he's been writing is really fun, so I'm really looking forward to that.
Cool.
Jamal, what about you?
I am going to pick up Batman and Red Hood number 20. Because I've been, I think I've read pretty much every issue that Pete Tomasi and, why am I blanking? Pat Gleason. Sorry,
no,
Pat.
Gleason. Yeah, yeah.
that they've done on the series. It's a phenomenal book. Everybody should read it.
I love. That's been right up to, everyone gives the Scott Snyder book so much credit. That book has been just as good.
I would absolutely.
It hasn't
agree.
Always been called that. It's been called
Batman
so
and
many,
Robin.
Yeah. For, and then it was Batman and Red Robin, I believe, last issue. But it's been such a great Batman book.
Cool. Couple of things. You should plug your stuff.
Oh, absolutely. Plug it. Well, Molly Danger will be in shops everywhere. Sometime this summer, we're looking at a late July, early August release.
Sweet.
The Molly Danger audio comic will be released around the same time. G.I. Joe number 6, which is the issue that I'm doing with Cover Girl, which is coming out in July, I think. And more to be announced when I am able.
TVA.
All right. Very cool. A couple of things before we go. First of all, big announcement. We're going to have a huge show next week. I don't know if you guys know about Greg Pak and Jonathan Coulton's Kickstarter for their comic book Code Monkey Save World. Well, next week, luckily, time's out to the last couple of hours of their Kickstarter. They've been incredibly successful so far, made several $100,000, but they're doing a last push to publish a children's book as well. So we're going to have a sort of live telethon here on the show.
Yeah. But they're, Jonathan's going to perform.
Yeah, Jonathan's going to do a live set here on the show, which should be very cool. So if you're a fan of Jonathan Coulton, that should be awesome. If you're not, you will be a fan of Jonathan Coulton. Also, if you're listening to this on the podcast, check it out at bit.ly/CBC Live. We'll be live streaming the show and also taking your questions on Twitter during the show. That's something we hope to do going forward. It's something we actually experiment with, surprise, this week, Jamal. So you're going out live to the internet, but we'll definitely be doing it next week as well. A couple of other things. We want to thank our fabulous interns, Iman Bell, Brandon Dannenhofer, Tom Hardar, Craig Flesher, David McKay, Patty Tenicella, and Riley Trahan. Pete.
Friend us on Facebook so you get to hear about all the amazing guests we have on the show. Check out the Big City Dare to Draw.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Yep, and you can check us out at comicbookclublive.com and nerdist.com for the podcast and more. A couple of people we want to thank. Before we go, we want to thank Jamal for being on the show. Boot bang.
Boot bang.
But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at Fontana's in New York, totally free. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thank you, guys.
Good night, guys.